This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy issued a warning this week.
This is the defining public health challenge of our time, and I'm very concerned that social media has become an important contributor to the pain and the struggles that many of our young people are facing.
Massachusetts schools are looking to do something about that, and it involves kids' cell phones. The state's Department of Secondary Education is encouraging districts to think about restricting or banning cell phones in schools. Now, there's no mandate yet, but Education Commissioner Jeff Riley says the state could even offer financial incentives for districts who put restrictions or bans in place. And he's the commissioner for elementary and secondary education. Not everyone is sold on making schools completely cell phone free, so we thought we should dive beneath the headlines on this. Let's look at what it could mean, who's tried it, how kids feel about it, how teachers and principals feel about it, and more. So we invited WBUR senior education reporter Carrie Young back to join us here in Studio 2. You were with us yesterday. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a while, Tiziana.
I know, it's been a minute. Almost literally. Glad to have you back. We've also got with us John Calipos, who's associate head of the Buxton School in Williamstown over Zoom. John, welcome back to you as well.
Hey, how are you?
It's great to have you. We're well, thanks. And I'm actually going to start with you, John. We've talked with you before. This is not entirely a new idea here in the state, but I do want to know what your reaction is of sort of a statewide thinking about doing this. What's your reaction?
I was really encouraged to see it. I think, you know, every school is different and every school is going to have different needs. Over here in our community, we found it to be super successful and it's really helped us further our educational goals. So, yeah, I'm really happy that people are considering it and like it's, you know, coming to the forefront of the conversation about education.
Well, and that is why we thought about you and wanted to talk to you again. You're associate head at Buxton School. The school decided to do this beginning last fall, and a pretty substantial ban on the presence of phones in the school, John Calipos, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, all of our students, like we ask that all of our students not have phones and we don't, you know, we don't allow them. And the same is true with our faculty. Right. So and when I say phones, I mean smartphones. Everyone can still use their what colloquially called dumb phones. You know, they call, they text, they don't do anything else. So
I'm going to turn back to Carrie Young here. One of the things that spurred kind of a renewed debate, some thinking about this, is this research that came out of the Surgeon General's office shows children who spend 3 or more hours a day on social media, and by the way, shows that they do spend 3 or more hours a day on social media, more likely to experience these negative mental health outcomes. I want to play a little more sound of Surgeon General Vivek Murthy talking about these findings in an interview with ABC this week.
Social media is chipping away at their self-esteem. It's taking time away from activities that are critical for health and development, like sleep, but also in-person interaction and physical activity. But it's also exposing them to harmful content. So many children are exposed to violence, to sexual content, to harassment and bullying on social media.
So, Carrie, it's one of those moments where you hear it and it's almost that sense of shock, but not surprise. I mean, you've been talking to teachers for years. All in one place, there's kind of a thud factor to it, and yet we've been hearing this, right, for a while.
Oh, yes, yeah. This was an issue before the pandemic, and then it just really became an issue after the pandemic, is what I've heard from a lot of schools. And I was sitting in on the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education meeting this week that was sort of talking about, okay, we're going to talk about what different schools have been doing when it comes to cell phone bans. And, you know, it was just like, it was really flooring, everything that you heard from teachers. And they were saying, 2019, we knew kids were getting super distracted and we had to do something. Now, it's just like a whole other level, just because they were so focused on screens during the pandemic. And now to get them out, it was just a huge challenge. So this is what a couple of schools have tried.
So, John, I'll come back to you. What was the tipping point for the Buxton School? And maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe it wasn't a tipping point. Maybe you were working towards it for years. But sort of tell us a little bit about the journey that got a school to say, this has got to stop. We've got to do something really different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that so much of the magic of education happens in the classroom and then also in those moments outside of the classroom, right? In between classes, in the lunchroom. And we realized we were like both fighting the battle inside and outside the classroom in terms of kids not engaging with each other and not engaging with our program, like, you know, walking down the hallways, like just everyone looking down. And so it was sort of like a small, like a slow burn almost of like, hey, like we are seeing less engagement in classes. We're seeing these like negative social outcomes. We're seeing less growth overall. And every time we were starting to ask these questions, it came back to like, well, it's might be the phones. Like, let's look at the phones. And so eventually we, you know, we started this conversation. The conversation lasted a couple months of what it would look like to be at a school that just didn't have these devices.
Who was in that conversation, John?
The conversation started among all the faculty. So we're a school where the faculty meet multiple times a week. And it was a discussion raised, and it was a contentious discussion at first, right? Like not everyone agreed. But it's, you know, turned out, I think by and large, we've reached consensus that this is good for education, and this is good for like our style of teaching.
How do the kids feel about it?
I feel at the beginning they were really upset. Now it's sort of like asking a fish about water, right? Like it's just part of their lives, and they, you know, the phones when they're here on campus aren't a part of, like, it's not something that they've integrated, and you know, they've adapted to it. And I think it's, you know, at least from my view, it seems like campus is a much more vibrant, happy place because everyone is engaging with each other and not everything else that's off campus.
So we'll go back to a statewide look now. We're speaking with John Kalapos, who's associate head of the Buxton School in Williamstown, and WBUR senior education reporter Carrie Young, because there is this beginning of a talk from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, right, about the possibility of restricting or banning phones. So take us to the meeting, Carrie, and just, you know, take us into the scene. What did you hear? Was it surprising? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So what I heard is that this is just the very beginning of talks about maybe making this a more widespread thing. We are very far away from this being a mandate, in my opinion, based on what I've seen in Massachusetts. But you know, a couple things stood out to me in that meeting. The state brought in a couple of different schools that were trying different versions of cell phone bans, and just had, you know, had students and school leaders talk about, here's what we're doing, here's how it's going, and students, what do you think, kind of thing. And so, you know, just to give you an overview of who was there, there was Milford High School, and by faculty demand, they instituted just basically a rule that you can't have your phones out, you can't be looking at it or operating your phone during class. You can in the hallways, but if you do break that rule, then it goes into a locker in the front office, kind of thing. Then Marlborough High School has a similar program. They said Elliott K to 8 school, which is in Boston. Again, that's a K to 8, so elementary school. Yeah. They have these pouches, kind of like if you ever go to a concert that they don't want you to film. Similar thing, all teachers supposedly have keys to unlock it in case there's an emergency and students do need to like text their parents for something. But basically, a student can carry their phone around all day and, you know, just not be able to access it and look at it. And then Concord Carlisle High School has these caddies in class, and it's kind of a way to take attendance. And if the teacher sees you sitting there and it's like, where's your phone? Then, you know, they know that's not working. So it's a little bit of everything. And then the other thing to note is that these are all just happening in the individual schools. So not a district push by any means. These individual schools were like, we have to try something. So super local. The other thing that really stood out to me was the student responses. They were so insightful and really refreshingly honest about how they were like, I've hated it at first, you know. And then one student, Gwyn Zeke, she is an eighth grader at Elliott K to 8 school, and she just really reflected on how much she appreciated this new policy and what it did to kind of her social life and her confidence. So let's hear what she has to say.
You really started to notice where you were with yourself and notice how you were and how you were interacting with other people. And that was when I noticed before that I hadn't really made new friends. I had friends, but I hadn't talked to anyone new, and I had stuck with who I had and those interactions through my phone and things like that. But as soon as after that, I started talking with a lot of more people and becoming less shy and becoming confident in myself and figuring out who I was beyond that screen that had been our lives for a year and a half then with COVID.
Yeah, so very similar to what John has been telling us about, you know, that it's making the campus a more vibrant place. People are interacting with each other in the room as opposed to the outside world.
So as we think about, John Kalapos, how a school might join some of the other schools like Buxton, which is a private school, but some of these public schools across the state in trying this. And I will note that the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education has said that it could put some money on the table, a matching grant of up to $1 million for a district who's ready to try to put some policies in place. There is this question of, okay, what level of accessibility does need to be there? And here is what is on my mind. So St. John's Prep in Danvers on Monday has a swatting incident, and a police officer accidentally discharges his weapon in a bathroom, raises fears of an active shooter situation. Students need to let their families know they're okay. According to some reporting by the Boston Globe's Yvonne Abraham this week, the head of school, Ed Hardiman, said he might consider changing the school cell phone policy because the lack of kids' ability to get to their cell phones made it harder for them to let parents know they were okay. So bear with me, John, because we also then, Kyrie Thompson, one of our producers, spoke with Quincy School Superintendent Kevin Mulvey yesterday, and he said that they actually had a similar swatting incident happen in one of the Quincy schools and that it also influenced the way they approach their cell phone policies. Here he is.
We knew from that incident that it would be very important for our particular high school students to be able to communicate with parents, you know, who may have seen the fact that we were locked down and the threat was made to the school. So it was very helpful in that instance. And I think that helped us kind of craft our own policy, allowing for that balance.
So let's just catch the irony of we're thinking about restricting phones because of the mental health support for kids. And yet we're talking about how much do they need them because of the possibility of shootings in schools. So I want to sit with that. But how do you think about that balance, John Kalapos?
I think when we're thinking about policy, it's really important to think about what policy are we making to support the most extreme cases, right? And then what policy are we making to like improve the day-to-day lived experience of most students most of the time, right? And I think these swatting incidents are an example of like, these are really extreme situations. And it's not to say that students don't need to be in touch with their parents immediately, you know, for the fear and anxiety and horribleness of them, right? But I think with our solution, which is, you know, saying you could have a phone, it just can't be a smartphone. In that instance, it's like all the students could text their parents, call their parents immediately. So it's sort of like we don't take issue with the having of the phone. It's that ready access to the notifications of social media, the lack of friction in between like in-person social interactions and then online social interactions, right? But understanding that that's not a solution for every school. We're pretty small. We have the resources and to institute that policy, I do think you could probably get creative with technological solutions. And I'm sure there's plenty of people thinking about that.
Carrie, of course, the other thing that strikes me is Buxton's a private school. We're talking about public schools. There are unions involved, different kinds of standardized policies. What else do you think we have to watch for? More schools may take up DESE on experimenting with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of that balancing the accessibility of being able to communicate with your family in case an emergency happens, but also, like John is saying, you know, keeping social media and those kind of distractions, things that are bad for your mental health, out of students' hands, at least during learning time. And so, you know, it doesn't necessarily interact, I would say, probably too much with union contracts, because depending on the school, I would imagine it doesn't necessarily impact the teachers. They can still have their cell phones. So I would say you'd stay pretty clear of that. I think a lot of what we saw from, you know, the Concord Carlisle High School caddies in class, the kids aren't really parting that far from their phones. They can see them and they have access to them. It's not even like a key that they have to open. So emergency, they get them back. You know, are okay. So it's a balance.
More to watch for. Carrie Young is WBUR senior education reporter. John Kalapos is associate head of the Buxton School in Williamstown. I suspect we'll keep talking about this. It does seem like more schools might give it a shot. And certainly kids are going to have an opinion. Maybe we'll get to hear more of that, too. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, there is more ahead. When we come back, we're actually going to shift gears. We're going to talk about comic books, graphic novels, banning. And we're going to look at a legend, Mouse. That's after the break. I'm Tiziana Deering. You're listening to Radio Boston.